So it's a bit cold out there, as I'm sure you've noticed, and with the winter chill firmly on its way, you might think about hedgehogs, for instance, going into hibernation, or putting out the fat balls for the birds. But spare a thought, if you will, for owls. Barn owls, in particular, have had a pretty tough time over the last few years, with the more severe winters of 2010 and 2012 reducing the population, and that cold snap in March of 2013 also increased their decline. Thankfully, last year, their numbers were on the increase, with an abundance of prey and warmer temperatures, and that meant that brooding pairs were laying earlier and then having larger broods than previously. Joining me now is John Dello from the West Berkshire Countryside Society to tell me more. It's lovely to meet you. Thanks very much for coming in.
Hello.
It's good to hear that it is basically good news this year about barn owls.
This year is not so good.
Oh.
Last year, 2014, was super year. It was a wonderful year. The barn owl boxes that the team that I work with, we monitor about 140 boxes, and we had 173 chicks
that
fledged,
yeah.
Which was a record. We not only had good breeding in June and early July, but a lot of the barn owls went on to have second broods, and that added to the total, and that only happens in exceptional years.
And so that was a good year in which some had two broods. An exceptional year, is that usually a very mild winter?
I think that a mild winter certainly helps the barn owls, but what is really crucial is as to whether they breed well is availability of food.
Mm.
If there are plenty of short-tailed voles, that's the main prey of barn owls in this area, then they will breed well and have second broods.
And what causes there to be an increased population of short-tailed voles?
Well, it's when the conditions are right for that short-tailed vole. It gets breeding early in the year and they then work up to what can sometimes be described as a plague of short-tailed voles. There's too many of them, and then it all goes into reverse. They don't breed and it slackens off.
So that's how nature works, isn't it?
It's
amazing.
The way nature works.
What is the habitat we're talking about? Where do the short-tailed voles live and consequently the barn owls?
Well, they want rough, tussocky grassland. That is the main habitat. And in Berkshire, certainly in West Berkshire, that is along the boundaries of the rivers. We do a lot of work along the Pang Valley and along the Kennet Valley, and those are good areas for rough, tussocky grassland.
Tussocky. It's a wonderful word, tussocky.
It is,
yeah,
yes.
Fantastic. The interesting thing is that you can often tell this, obviously you can tell it by the population of barn owls and how successful they're being, but you've brought in one of the major ways you can tell how the barn owls are feeding and what's going on by looking at their pellets.
Yes.
You brought in a bag of pellets. Go on, let's have a look.
Right.
These are barn owl pellets. I know, I've come across this before. No, I don't want them. Don't get them out. I like them in the plastic bag. Don't get them out.
There you go.
Oh, that's they're much bigger than I would have thought. It's the size of a small egg. Gosh, that is like that. Yeah, it's a pellet.
You consider them a bit dirty. They're a bit like a lump of dog dirt, aren't they, really?
Well, no, they look more like a knitting together of lots of fibres and
yes.
Hair.
Well, they are the indigestible items that barn owls produce. They can't digest bones and fur, and so they hold it inside their bodies and cough it up later.
Oh, that comes out the front end. Oh, I didn't
know.
Even then, it's big. It's much bigger. Honestly, I kid you not, it's the size of a quail's egg. Actually, it's slightly bigger than a quail's egg,
isn't
it?
I would say it's bigger, yes.
And it looks like a great big, like the cat would cough up, like a great big fur ball, a dark fur ball. But when you have a look in it, you can tell what that owl has been eating.
Oh yes, I can spend an hour on one pellet just gradually pulling it apart and seeing what bones are in there. In this area, you'll find that nearly all of the bones are coming from short-tailed voles. There'll probably be a few from shrews. They are a bit smaller, but that makes up sort of 95% of the prey of barn owls in this area. They'll have a go at other species. Quite often you'll find that they'll take wood mice, which are
quite
fairly
a bit bigger,
common.
Are they?
Sorry?
Aren't they quite a bit bigger than
A little bit bigger, but they will occasionally take rats. But they're a bit on the big side for a barn owl, but they will tackle a rat, particularly if it's a small one or a bit sickly. Oh. And you do get those, the remains of those, in pellets. You'll also get small birds, which they'll take from time to time. But the message is that if you can pull the pellet apart and see what the bones are inside, then you know what they've been eating.
Yes.
And as I say,
that's a good indicator of health of the environment, really.
Absolutely, yes. We only put barn owl boxes up in areas that have got good habitat. Mm. If there is not good habitats, they won't exist, they won't prosper.
And very simplistic question then. Why put the barn owl boxes up? Why can't they find their own little habitat?
Well,
help them by building a little house for them?
I'm afraid we're a little bit too tidy in our habits in the countryside now. Lots of the old trees have been chopped down, and there aren't the natural habitats, natural nesting sites available in the countryside. It's reckoned that more barn owl chicks are bred in artificial, man-supplied boxes than are bred in natural holes in trees, etc., these days.
So, I mean, on one way that's sad. On the other, at least you're fulfilling a need, aren't you?
Oh yes, yes.
Important to put those boxes there. And as you say, you're monitoring how many?
We've worked up now over the years. I've been doing this for about 15 years now, and every year we put up a few more boxes. Some fall down, so we've got to make good the losses and add to it. And we started with about 70 boxes, and year by year we've increased, and we've now got about 140 boxes scattered along the Pang Valley and some along the Kennet Valley.
Well, I tell you what, in a couple of minutes, we'll pause for a bit of music here on BBC Radio Berkshire, but in a couple of moments, you can tell me how and when you do that, because you must have to pick your moment really carefully. Now, we're talking barn owls because we're hearing it's not a particularly good year for barn owls this year. They had a much better year last year, and we were figuring out how you tell whether they're doing well, where you look at their pellets to see what they're coughing up, to see what sort of diet they're having. But habitat, John Dello is with me. We've been talking about how they fix up owl boxes. How do you do that? What time of the year do you do the put up the boxes and renovate them and find out which ones have fallen down? Because presumably you have to choose a time when the owl isn't around.
Well, when you're putting up a new one, it doesn't know it's coming, does it?
A new one. Well, but you don't want to disturb the habitat, presumably.
Oh, no, you wouldn't disturb the habitat. That's separate. Most birds like to hide their nests away so that predators can't find them too easily, but barn owls are a bit different from that. You need to find a site that is obvious so that the barn owl can find it. We usually, in this area, most of the boxes we put up are in oak trees, occasionally ash, occasionally other sorts of trees. But we put it so that it is close to good habitat, rough tussocky grassland, as I keep saying.
Yeah.
And we mount it at about a height of about 3 to 4 metres. And ideally, if you've got a nice straight trunk of an oak tree and you can put the box 3 or 4 metres up on that so that it is obvious, then that's the place to be.
Yeah.
You don't... tawny owls...
Does the owl live in it all year?
It will have to roost somewhere. They don't roost in the same box the whole year. Quite often you'll go in the winter and you won't find a barn owl in a box if you're just doing maintenance. But it'll come back to breed at a later time.
I see. And what about, I know that you do ring some of the young chicks, don't you?
Yes.
How do you go about doing that?
Well, you've got to get them at the right time. The calendar for a barn owl is that it will lay eggs in May usually. They take about a month to hatch, and then they'll take another 6 weeks before they fledge, that is, fly from the nest. It's in that 6 weeks you need to catch them where they can't fly, and you put a ladder up to the box, go and take the chicks out and put a ring on them. Usually when they're something like 3 weeks after hatching is the ideal time.
But presumably you have to be really careful of choosing the moment when the adult is away.
Well, occasionally occasionally you'll find that you'll go to a box and an adult will come out. So you don't choose a time, you just take it as you find
it. Don't the adults mind you?
No, they're pretty
there?
Passive, really.
Really?
They'll really? Just take off and go and roost somewhere else, probably keeping an eye on you. And you can then take the chicks out of the box. Usually there's two, three, or maybe four chicks to ring at the same time.
And they're particularly beautiful when they...
Well, they're very fluffy and
cuddly. They're incredibly fluffy, aren't they?
I wouldn't say they were good-looking. They're pretty ugly,
yeah,
really.
Right. Are they aggressive at all? Do they have a
no,
back at you?
No, they're not aggressive. You need to have a licence to do ringing. I don't have a licence to ring. I have what is called a disturbance licence. This is issued by English Nature and permits me to access boxes and monitor what's going on.
Very important.
But the next step up, if you go through a further training program so that you're qualified as a ringer, then you're allowed to lift the chicks out of the box and put a ring on it.
It's just as well, isn't it, that it is licensed in that
way?
Oh,
absolutely,
because it's
yes.
clearly an expert job. But from what you were saying earlier, that now it would appear that the majority of barn owls in this country have been bred in a man-made habitat.
Yeah. Yes.
If you weren't doing your intervention, they would be dying out, wouldn't
well,
they?
Well, that's right. I think that's absolutely right, that it's essential that we do it and we keep doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. If anyone's interested in getting involved in any way, the West Berkshire Countryside Society... Of barn owls, or is it just society?
It's a society of which
barn owls.
It's
the West Berkshire Countryside Society.
Yes.
And presumably you're online.
Yes.
So that's who to look for if anyone else is interested in becoming a ringer or anything else like that. Thank you so much for coming in and giving us a little forage through a barn owl pellet. First time I've done that. Thank you very much indeed. Fascinating business.
You're welcome.